You're good to go.
Okay, we'll call to order the June 1st, 2022 meeting for the Town of Curie Beach Historic Preservation Commission. The first item should be the excusing Tony from the meeting.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Okay. Oh, okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Next item is adoption of the minutes. Again, we'll take just a second or two to look at that if you haven't looked at it already.
Yes, I make the motion to adopt the minutes from the March 2nd meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Public comments. Hearing none, we'll close public comments. Old business, finalization of address list for historic property owners letter. This is me, and you should have received... there's actually three documents. There's the original documents from the barracks, which is a list. We also have from the original statement for the historic preservation district, we have a list of properties in that, and I think I identified those and sent those out a couple months ago. And then we had three high school students earlier this month, or last month actually, it was in May, go around and identify all the properties driving around Curie Beach and actually getting on Zillow. I think it was Zillow. And they've already done the work and identified when these properties were built. So it's actually fairly easy for them to do that. And so they have a list now, which is a fairly extensive list. It's a pretty impressive list there. So all of these have been identified for over 50 years old in the town of Curie Beach. There may be some overlap with the barracks, but these are ones that are not in the B1 district or the historic district. That was a separate list. So this is our list now.
Craig, I have a question.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of addresses on here. Are all these houses still in the original condition? None of these have been renovated to mock to be modernized?
I didn't ask them to do that. What they did is they went around, looked at what appeared to be older houses, then I think got on Zillow or one of the real estate web pages that identifies when the house was built. I mean, that's actually there on Zillow, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was older than, 72, then it was on this list.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think, the high school students, I don't think, could tell if it was renovated or whatever.
So I have a question.
Yes.
If we send these letters out to all of these people on this list, and they go and fill out the application and pay their fee, but their house has been renovated, and then they don't qualify.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
we're going to have some upset folks.
I can't imagine all these houses still look the same as they did when they were first built.
Well, I drove around to kind of give them a little bit of training and identify some houses that look old. I mean, there's going to be some renovation to all of them, I think. But the primary property is still identified as pre-1972 built on the real estate information. In fact, I would assume almost all of them probably have some sort of renovation or, they're not original. Yes?
If you consider just one property in particular, Havana Restaurant is on the list for Carolina Beach. It was a beach house built quite a few years ago. It's had quite a bit of renovation because it's now a restaurant. It still qualifies. Because basically the structure, when you start looking at historic places, the structure is still basically the same. The White House has had numerous renovations. It's still a historic structure. And we have one thing here, which is a wooden sea structure. It's not a boat, but it's a wharf. And the standard for boat aging is as long as there is any of the original structure or material in it, it's still the original ship. So if you've ever heard of the Cutty Sark, other than what's in a bottle, the Cutty Sark was a ship that went from England to India, and in fact, it was the fastest ship that ever was able to do it under wind. The Cutty Sark is now in a dry dock in Greenwich. The only original part of it is one linear foot of the original keel. Everything else has been replaced at least once, because ocean water and ships and the wind don't get along together, which is one of the reasons why old ships had a carpenter as part of their staff. When something broke, you replaced it. So the fact that they've done renovations in the house doesn't change the fact that the basic fabric of the house is old, unless they basically tore it out and put something new there, in which case it's not.
And you can see that I did have the students actually identify the dates that are being identified. Again, they did not go to the original deeds and all that sort of thing. They were using one of the, and I think it was Zillow, that identified. But they were specifically looking for older-looking houses, too. They weren't going down the Keys or things like that are built more recently. So I was surprised, you know, quite frankly. But there are some parts of Kiri Beach that have a lot of older houses. There's no question about it. And you can see that these are kind of clustered together. You know, they're not kind of scattered around. These are kind of clusters of older houses in different places. In fact, where we had the incident a couple weeks ago is included in this list. If you know. What's that?
It's not.
Yeah, wasn't that 113? What was the other?
That house is only 25 years old.
Is that included? It might have been.
It's not on.
Okay, it's not on the list. Okay. Maybe the one next to it, I think, was, or something like that. Okay, that's it.
I think I know of a few, too, that aren't on the list, so it's still possible to add if I identify them.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, they went around, and they went around to specific areas. I kind of circled certain areas where they didn't really need to spend a lot of time, you know, that are the newer developments, like going down the Keys or Settlers Lane or things like that. So they went to areas that I had kind of circled that are clearly the older districts. So they certainly might have missed some.
There's three right on H.
Okay.
The whole family on the whole block.
Right.
Question. Does anybody see whether it would be an advantage to have every house
be historic?
No. To have when it was built.
Advantage for what?
That's just it. I have no idea.
You know, after looking at this, you almost want to make it like 75 years rather than 50 years. You know, because if all these are historic, by definition of 50 years, you know, 1972 is now historic. Somehow I don't feel...
Yeah, but isn't there a definition of historic or antique? It's 50 years old or more. I think there's an actual definition for that.
Depends on what you're talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, this is really a recommendation to your organization to do this.
And that's their guidelines.
That's their guideline. And do we want to revisit the idea of maybe giving this list to the historic, the Federal Point Historic Group, or do we still want to send out the letter that we had worked on? And I think we all accepted Kathleen's revision to that.
Well, I was going to give them one anyway, just for further information for them. But we're sending out the letters for our community, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you think they would still want us to send out the letter to, it looks like, 100 houses here? Residences?
Well, we're sending that for our information within the town.
Yes. Do we have a copy of the letter, again, the revised letter? There was, you know, I wrote and then Kathleen did a number of revisions, and I thought we had approved the revisions.
You were going to send us the final letter.
Oh, I was going to send the final one.
I think Beth requested it a few times via email.
Oh, okay.
Got another one?
Yes.
I have some coworkers in Annapolis that have a few historic pieces of property in it, and I can contact some of them to find out what, in fact, for a structure is considered historic by age, and then get back with you next month.
Yeah, we were working on the definition that they have too, the 50, I think they work with the 50-year one here.
It depends on what the structure is. If it's a Sears house, 50 years is historic. If it's a brick house, 50 years is nothing in Annapolis.
And there are some brick houses in here. I mean, there's no question. There's some probably cement brick houses.
We're talking about the Federal Point Historic Society guidelines for our area.
Yeah, their guidelines is 50 years. That's what we've been working on.
Because they're the ones issuing the plat, correct?
Right. We were just going to write a letter saying, it's great, you know, that you've been identified. Would you be interested in getting a plaque? Contact the Federal Point Historic Preservation Group.
So if the Federal Point Preservation guideline is 50 years, we're not going to change that guideline. We're just telling people, hey, here's an avenue for you to get a plaque if you want it. So I think we should just send it to everybody on this list. I think initially we were even discussing whether we want to just blast it out to everybody and say, if your house is over 50 years old, you can contact the Federal Point. But we chose to do some research on our own and selectively send the letters.
So I guess there's two questions. One is the letter, and that you had some revisions, and I guess I volunteered to clean it up with your revisions, which I have probably lost the original. Do you have the? Do you have that? That was about 3 months ago or 4 months ago.
Past meetings.
Yeah, I have
back
from past agendas.
Kathleen's communication.
Yeah, it was good. Because she had all, because I had written, and then she came in with a whole bunch of changes, and I think we all agreed to Kathleen's changes, and I might have volunteered to just go ahead and do a clean one, which I haven't done, so I apologize for that.
You can do that on the plane.
Yeah, that's right, all 7 hours. All right, so what is the, I think we've probably exhausted our list of houses with the exception of a few that you might be able to identify. There's probably, when you look at it, with what's in the B1 district in this list, with what the students have put together, as well as maybe some barracks, if we cross-check the barracks, I'm sure some of the barracks are in here. There's probably 100 houses. So is it the pleasure of the Historic Preservation Commission that we continue to send out that letter that we had talked about to all of them?
I'm fine with it.
Okay, all right. All right, so the whole issue is to get the letter then. Okay, so...
Just to clarify for me, is it just this list, or is it still
all three lists?
There's three lists, but there might be...
Crossover.
There might be some crossover between the barracks list and these other two lists, but the list of the high school students should not be covered with the B1 dish, because I told them not to go there within the B1 district.
Are your high school, well, I guess your school students are not still working on this?
No, they did that. They completed this probably about 3 weeks ago.
Okay, well, did they happen to send this to you in an Excel format?
I forwarded to you. I don't think...
It's a Word document.
I'm guessing that it's in a Word document. Yeah, it's not an Excel. I could ask one of them to put it into Excel. I'm sure she's willing to get a couple more hours of credit.
Okay.
Do you want me to do that? They're always looking for credit hours, so I'll be glad to ask them, and they'll do it.
Well, if you would like to have her cross-reference all three lists to make sure there's no duplicate addresses, and just put the street address in an Excel document, that would be great.
Yeah, no, I could have her do that.
Do you need it to be like 131 in one column? Myrtle Avenue in one column.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll send you the specifications of how it needs to be in the Excel document, and then you can have her also cross-reference and take off any duplicates.
Sure, that's fine.
That
Yeah, and go ahead and send me again as attachments. Yeah, go ahead and send me as an attachment all, you know, I have the one, but the other two. Okay, all right, that's fine.
Along with the letter revisions, are you going to send us a clean copy?
Yeah, if you could send me the, if you could.
I'll send you the original.
Yeah. Okay, and I'll go ahead and do that, and I'll have the students do this, and they'll probably do it pretty quick, probably, yeah, because they're willing to get more hours of credit.
Okay, well, they are, so. It would help, be helpful to staff.
Sure.
But, and Beth can send you how she wants it in the Excel for the
Yeah, program. That's fine. Okay.
And then,
Kate, can you get it to me fairly quickly, because again, I'm...
I get it to you tomorrow.
Oh, okay,
I'll
great.
First.
Good. Is that okay with the commission?
Good.
Okay. You're going to send the letter back to us fairly quickly?
Yes. And if, just make sure when you send me the email that you put it in capital and bolded writing.
Yeah, capital and bolded.
Capital and bolded to remind me, yeah.
In red.
In red. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, before we move forward to new business, we should probably back way up to the beginning and have the discussion that there is no audio for this meeting so that that gets...
Yes, you're right. Okay. Yeah. Again, I want to identify for the record that we had a technical problem with our call-in audio, and so that information was provided, and so anybody who wanted to attend needed to attend in person. So, again, that's for the record. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, and I wanted to ask now that we have a plan in place about how to get these letters out, is there another meeting necessary for us to... approve anything or vote on anything as far as these letters, because now the plan is set. So
right, I can't see any reason to have this on a future agenda.
So without new business coming before the Historic Preservation Commission, this might clean up all the old business that we had.
Correct.
Okay, that's fine. So this won't carry forward to any more future agenda items. Okay. New business discussion of historic preservation application. Okay.
And I apologize for using the word application.
You're fine.
Because it could be a form, it's an application, it's also how you do something. And mine is how you do something. Let me reintroduce myself to the board. I'm Gary Glossa, your newest member for the Historic Preservation Commission. And first of all, I'd like to tell you that I am envious of all of you. You've lived here longer than I have. I still have a residence, well, I have a house in Maryland. I am a resident here for only 7.5, almost 8 years now, and this is a neat little town. What I've been doing over the last about a month is doing my historic thing. My background, I'm an Army brat. I've lived in 8 different states. I've lived in Germany, Japan. Japan was a little kid. I'm absolutely in love with history. I was going to be a history major at Virginia Tech, except you had to have 2 years of a foreign language. I speak German. I took one quarter of German and got a D, and I said, ain't no way I'm going to get the rest in 2 years. So I went to political science, which, by the way, has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with government systems and their interactions with each other and within them. I've looked at the town of Kerry Beach from a historical perspective. And I'll tell you, it depends on what you use as a definition of what is a city block. We have about 150 city blocks here in Kerry Beach. And in that 150 blocks, we've had a period of homesteading back pre-Revolutionary War, including the cemetery, which is off of Dow, which is just outside of Kerry Beach property, also outside of Carolina Beach because it's part of farming. Fort Fisher was built here for the Civil War. It was at the time, and still is, well, no, after the ocean got it, but it was at the time the largest earthwork fort in America, which is pretty significant. And I know that Civil War history is a bad subject for most people. For a historian, I can tell you most of you have a maybe not you, but most of the people in America have a warped view about the Civil War and what caused it.
But by the way, I think they're going to have a reenactment this weekend.
Yes, I understand that.
Yes.
I plan on being there, not participating. All my clothes that I have are colonial. I used to be a colonial guy in Annapolis. We have historic sites in Annapolis, obviously, or in Fury Beach. Obviously, Battery Anderson, which was part of the Fort Fisher defenses. If you remember, on the north end of Atlantic Avenue, there was a sign out in front of one of the houses. This was Battery Anderson. It's only about 150 yards inaccurate, because Battery Anderson was about 150 yards further east, because that's where the beach used to be 150 years ago, before they closed the second mouth to the Cape Fear River. We have the Invasion Beach, again, about 150 yards further out. We have, within the woods here, we have battlements that we can't get to because Sunny Point won't let us out there, not because it's dangerous, but because it's their blast zone in case they have a problem. But some of the things out there are amazing to look at. When they cleared 2 years ago and you could see where the ditches and where the battlements are, I suggested to my son, who is a park ranger analyst with the National Park Service, they ought to come up here and look at it and see if they can turn it into a national park area, especially considering the Union troops that fought here were, to a great extent, black troops. That's so far falling on deaf ears. But anyway, we had 1913, the Curie Beach land development, which surveyed all of this and came up with a nice grid. It makes it look like Manhattan. We didn't follow that at all, which is why I can't tell you how many blocks they were. We had the first fishing pier in North Carolina, here in Curie Beach. That was in 1923. And at the time, it was the longest. It's the first, it's going to be the longest, but it was the longest fishing pier in North Carolina, possibly even on the East Coast of the United States. So that's pretty historic. We have the Ethel Dow chemical plant, started before World War II, was instrumental in saving lives during World War II. Because if you had a Jeep and you were trying to bring your troops up at night and your motor was going, the Germans could hear it, but with the Ethel Dow an additive, the Jeeps were quieter. You have the Fort Fisher, obviously in 1942, when it was reactivated for World War II, where they actually went into Fort Fisher and took out one of the battlements to put an airport in. Which, anyway, that's something else. And then the barracks at the fort, which were then, after it closed, sold throughout the town. And several of them have moved two or three times, which is kind of cool that they just pick it up, put it on a trailer, and take it away. Of all those things that happened in this small town, and when you compare Curie Beach with the rest of the towns in North Carolina, we're pretty small. Of all those things, only two are in the historic district. One of them's a house. Actually, all three of them are a house. Again, Landon Beach was a little bit further away. And two of those buildings are a bar, Buzz, which is historic property. What I wanted to talk about was primarily leading up to checks and balances. It has nothing to do with writing checks, but when you have a government system, you have organizations that are responsible for things that are similar. You might remember, it's got to be 15 years ago, when the Air Force got really nabbed by the General Accounting Office for buying hammers for $400. Yeah, big thing in Washington. I was working in Washington, helping paying for those things because I worked for IRS at the time. And that is an example of where one part of the organization says, you guys can't do that. And GAO won. Here in Curie Beach, I'm looking at this as the Historic Preservation Commission. And everybody but I also belong to the planning and zoning, which is primarily responsible for development, right? Developing and advertising Curie Beach, which generally will kind of fly in the face of historic preservation, because historic preservation doesn't like development because it gets rid of the old historic stuff. What my observations have been so far is that we don't really have a whole lot of clout. If zoning and planning said we want to do something, there's no way that historic preservation would come up and say, no, we don't want to do that, because that would be the only contesting vote in the thing. Plus, we don't have a big budget. In fact, from what I understand, Beth, tell me if I'm wrong, we don't have a budget at all, do we?
No.
Yeah, not currently. Now, I don't know how we're going to pay for the letters and the postage on that, but that's not my problem. And last time I was here, I thought that we did something, I didn't vote for it, but it carried, was basically handing over some of the history of Kiri Beach to Federal Point, to the Historic Association there. And it's nice that they're supporting us, we're going to be sending out the letters, but it's a shame that we didn't take that burden on ourselves. But anyway. What I'm getting at is I'm wondering what we can do or what we will do or what we should do in the future. I would have a suggestion that we have at least two more members that are just historic preservationists to come in to maybe make the nature of the commission a little bit less development oriented and more history oriented. This came to me a couple of weeks ago. I walk from, we live over in the Keys. By the way, the Keys are only 13 years away from being historic using the 50-year plan. The house I'm in is not historic. But anyway, I'm walking along and on, I think it's 3rd Avenue, there's a new house being built. They are putting in the driveway right where there used to be this beautiful, beautiful bush that I wanted to take up and put in my front yard. And there was a couple from across the street looking at it, and they're looking at it, and they're saying, man, that thing's awfully high. And we're starting to look like Carolina Beach. And I thought, I don't know, I don't consider that a compliment, because we are very different from Carolina Beach. We have more ambiance, we have more atmosphere.
Can I throw in a thought?
Hmm? Yeah, sure.
I really appreciate your energy and interest and all, but as I understand it from the, you know, and I wasn't even part of this board when at the very inception of the Historic Preservation Commission began, but over time, you know, as things were hashed out, and it was decided that it was going to be the Downtown Historic Preservation Commission, and the purpose of the commission is to regulate any building development that occurs in the business district of Kiri Beach. So we're pretty limited in what we do and what our goal is. It sounds to me like you want to start a separate kind of, you know, I don't know, social interest group or something for preserving or doing something about the history of Kiri Beach, which I totally, completely support. I think it's great, but I don't think it falls within the realm of how the Downtown Historic Preservation Commission was developed here as a board.
Danny, if I can kind of jump in, because there's a history to the board also, mm-hmm. which is very important, and part of that has to do with the state of North Carolina. The state of North Carolina has laws that restrict a local community extensively. We won't go into the details of it in regulating development and buildings. It's we can't say no, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this, with the exception of one category, and that's if you have a historic district. And it's about a 2-year process to become a historic district, and you can only then regulate within that historic district. We can't selectively regulate an old house, for example. The state of North Carolina basically prohibits this, and you know, the attorney can certainly jump in on this. So, you know, what we needed to do is that we went to the town council and we asked the town council, how extensive did you want this district, this historic district? And the town council said the B1 district. It wasn't the choice of this commission. It was the town council that said the B1 district. And so what we did is we went through a 2-year process of putting together a historic district to maintain the ambience basically within that. That doesn't mean necessarily that we can protect a historic property in there, but we want to maintain the ambience. The other way that you can maintain a particular property is through a designation of a historic property, which again is not something that we do. That actually is is a legal process that's managed by the state and so forth. So we're kind of restricted in terms of what we do. I mean, a lot of us are very interested in history. I've published in historical journals and things like that too, but given the state of North Carolina and given the charge that was given to us by the town council, we're probably doing the best we can do to maintain, from a legal point of view and a development point of view, some of the ambiance that you're talking about. I agree with Kathleen that there's certainly an opportunity, I think, to be able to develop a greater interest on that in terms of activities and so forth. And I think what we're trying to do with this letter, actually, that we've been talking about, is a way of kind of raising the interest of people that if they go get a plaque, maybe they would be less interested in knocking down that piece of property and kind of maintaining the ambiance or at least the feel of that historic property. Does our attorney want to add anything to that? Or I mean, it's been a long history. I know you kind of came in at the end of this process, but you know, we are really limited by the state of North Carolina as to what we can do to protect some of the things that you're talking about. I'll let our attorney talk.
If you were here at the beginning of, before Al talks, was there a reason that the four square blocks was chosen, the one, as opposed to broadening it? Because using those four blocks, the fishing pier isn't even included in it.
No, the fishing pier is included in it.
It's across Atlantic Avenue.
It's still included. When you look at those four blocks, it does include, in terms of the map, the fishing pier. So the fishing pier is included in it. So.
A couple of points. One, a discussion came up years ago, two or three years ago, about how you could regulate exterior features of buildings within the town. And the genesis of that question came from the fact that I think everyone acknowledges that Erie Beach is a unique town in the sense it's got one stop light, family friendly, small town atmosphere. And it is unique. I've lived up and down this coast and I've never seen any place like Erie Beach. So the inquiry was, how can we keep it that way given all the developmental pressures and considering the fact that the general statutes prohibit local governments from regulating the exterior features on single and duplex residential structures. So we were kind of hamstrung. Research indicated that outside of a special use permit, which would only be property specific, that if you wanted to be able to regulate exterior features within a district or a geographical area, that the only way to do so was through the establishment of a historic preservation commission, which would regulate those exterior features from utilities to signs to any exterior feature of the structure, through a certificate of application process, which results in a quasi-judicial hearing before this commission to give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down on the proposed changes to the exterior structure. That was the only way that any regulation could occur regarding those exterior features on residential structures. And in a sense, the word historic is a bit of a misnomer in the statutes, because if you look at the Historic Preservation Commission statutes, they are designed to create a district to preserve not only history, not only architecture, but real fuzzy, soft words that don't have any definitions, ambiance, characteristics, family, feel, space. So faced with the desire to regulate negative impacts of developmental pressures, considering the general statute prohibition on doing exactly that, the Historic Preservation Commission was the only tool that was available under the general statutes to go forward for those purposes. Second main point, The commission, and it was a process. Establishing the commission, establishing the district, submitting a designation report to the state, dealing with the state's feedback on that, presenting it to council, took a very long time, perhaps a year, year and a half. And in part of that process, there was a comprehensive discussion about expanding. Do they want to limit it to B1, or do you want to feed out of those into adjoining areas? And council decided to keep it B1. Then we went forward and drafted the zoning regulations for that, including all the certificate of application procedures, and they're found in Chapter 15 of the code. And we haven't had it yet, but we're ready for them. But we've got design standards set up, we've got the application materials set up, we've got the application procedures established, they're all codified. We had a mock certificate of application hearing, maybe a month ago, a couple months ago. I'm not sure you were here for that. But a quasi-judicial hearing is a pretty serious business. It's evidentiary. So somebody comes in, granted maybe B1 is restricted in space, but somebody from B1 wants to make a change. They have to come in and present evidence and carry their burden of proof through testimony, perhaps expert witnesses, and documents to justify that their proposed changes are consistent with the design standards and the ambiance, feel, and nature of the B1 district. And this commission has that ultimate authority. It doesn't go to council after this. The only way it can go anywhere else is if the applicant is denied or an opponent feels strong enough that an appeal is made. I believe that appeal goes to the Board of Adjustment, and after that to Superior Court. So that sets the background on how this came about. It explains that it's not just history oriented. As a matter of fact, the name of the district is the Downtown Preservation District. Not historic, not even that word, although this commission has to have that name because that's what the statute requires. And we've set up procedures for evidentiary hearings on proposed changes. All goes back to the desire a couple of years ago about how to regulate exterior features so we don't turn into a place like perhaps the jurisdiction you name.
And then I could just add another thing is that we are sensitive to exactly what you're talking about, and that's why there was a strong interest in, again, identifying the older houses. You know, again, you can maybe not define them as historic if it's only 50 years old, but that's the kind of definition that's being used. Identify the older houses that we do think need recognition that they are older within this community. And 50 years old is, you know, is still pretty old for this particular community when you look at a lot of the new building that's going up. But because of the statutes on the state laws that restrict our ability to control the exterior features, if somebody were to come in and said they, you know, if they're not in the B1 district, for example, or in the historic or the preservation, the Downtown Preservation Commission or district right now, if somebody wanted to come in and change that older property, there's not a lot we can do about it. We wouldn't even see it. So what we're trying to do is recognize that and trying to raise or elevate the awareness of these property owners that they do have perhaps historic properties, and they can get a plaque and become aware of that as a way of encouraging perhaps a little more preservation outside the B1 district. So,
Two more points if I may.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think planning and zoning commissions are pro-development. I think they look at development and in some cases make some decisions, but this is planning and zoning is primarily an advisory board and council makes the decisions. However, there was an expertise in the familiarity with the zoning regulations that the reason planning and zoning ended up in large part as being the Historic Preservation Commission is, again, based on the statute. The statute says if you're establishing an HPC, Historic Preservation Commission, you can appoint members, or you can council can designate planning and zoning to sit as HPC. So that's how planning and zoning got in here, because they had the expertise to carry through that 1.5 year process of getting where we are. The other thing is making the board larger is, we had a very difficult time filling 7 seats in this small town. So I think making it larger is going to possibly fall on deaf ears.
I would also suggest for anybody that has a history interest to join the Federal Point Historic Society. They're concerned with everything that's on the island all the way up to Monkey Junction. And at least with people, I'm a board member myself, but at least if there's something going on within Carolina Beach or in the area, historic-wise, that's probably going to be where it's first heard, and give us a chance to see whether it's something that we can back, or whether it's something that we need to be careful of if it's applied to Curie Beach.
In fact, I believe the Federal Point Historic Preservation Group was actively involved with the park over by Publix, right, and the development of the Civil War Park over there.
Yeah, that was.
You know, again, you know, you talk about some of the trenches. There's a, you know, that there's a park over there you may be familiar with. That was, you know, actively involved with the Federal Point Historic Preservation.
The because, land, you know, was donated to the society.
Donated, and there, you're absolutely right. You know, there's, you know, I live over right off of Settlers Lane, and when we used to. We lived in the Keys, and when we'd walk through here before this was all developed, there were clearly trenches and Civil War, you know, things out there, and you know, you could find exploded shells and everything like that. You know, that's all been bulldozed by now. So,
I also look at up by the Art Museum, which was an even bigger battlefield.
Yes, yes.
Where Bragg had his last hurrah trying to save Wilmington.
And you know, they don't do reenactments there anymore, and you know why? Because one of the reenactors, because they would allow anybody to come in, and somebody came in dressed and had a live round of their gun and shot somebody. So they stopped reenactment over by the museum.
War's not over with.
No. They never could find out who did it, but somebody got shot by a reenactor. So that's why they don't do it over there.
Reenactment over by the museum.
Not the big ones. They,
No,
they don't. Yeah, no, because that's somebody got shot about 7 or 8 years ago.
That happened in Gettysburg, too.
It did it?
But yeah. They're still having reenactments up there. That's federal lands. That's different
rules. So anyway, I know that, you know, coming in, you know, after all this history and everything we went through is kind of confusing. I think it's still confusing to some of us, and we've even lived it the last two and a half years or so. But, you know, really right now, the Historic Preservation Commission is responsible for looking at Certificate of Appropriateness applications within the B1 district. The council has not been inclined to expand the B1 district right now. They have left it open. In fact, that was a question I think that was raised to the council maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, whether they wanted to expand it. They asked us to come back with a recommendation. The feeling was that until things kind of settle out, that we should keep it at the B1 district right now. But it's not closed in the council's mind as to whether it could be expanded to other areas. But right now, it's the B1 district. Is there any other comments? Or certainly appreciate the perspective, and I think we all share that perspective about the history here and would like to preserve it. But, you know, given the state regulations, it's kind of difficult sometimes to be able to do that. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So move.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good.